Hello and welcome to this edition of the Presbyterian Podcast with me, Gethin Russell-Jones. Hello, a chroeso I rifyn newydd o'r podlediad Presbyteraidd gyda fi, Gethin Russell-Jones. In this bilingual edition, we'll hear voices from Mid Wales, Cardiff and Taiwan, not forgetting Mizora and Madagascar. And all these stories come from the General Assembly that was held earlier in the summer in Llandudno. And y rhifyn dwyieithog hwn cawn glywed lleisiau o Ganolbarth Cymru, Caerdydd a Taiwan, heb anghofio Mizoram a Madagascar. A daw'r holl straeon hyn o'r gymanfa gyffredinol a gynhaliwyd yn Llandudno ym mis Gorffennaf.
So my name is Rebecca Lalbiak-Sangi. I'm originally from Mizoram, from the northeast part of India, and I've been working here in Wales since 2011 with the Presbyterian Church of Wales. And I was ordained as a minister nearly 2 years ago, October 2023. So yeah, nearly 2 years.
Wow, so you're coming up to... Yeah, you're coming up to 2 years, your post-ordination, Rebecca. At the General Assembly, you came to the front and you were asked about your priorities, I seem to recall. What are the things that you're living with and what you're giving yourself to in your ministry? And it'd be really great to hear what, you know, 2 years on, what your reflections are.
Yes, there are lots of priorities, but at the moment, what really my passion is to bring our family to God. I'm encouraging my 10 chapels in my pastorate, and if I happen to preach somewhere else, I often discuss about this, our connection and how families are important to lead our family to faith. So what I want my congregations and to do is to be more intentional and to be open about sharing their faith, especially within their own families. And as you all know, our journey to Christ started at home through our parents, our grandparents, or other close family members who helped us and guide us. And so when moving to Wales in 2011, I've asked this question to a lot of my friends, how they come to know God. And the answer is almost always the same. They always say that it is my family, it is my uncle, my auntie, my parents, grandparents, and so. So it really confirmed the importance of the family in leading faith. So I also think back about the Welsh revival in 1904 and 105, and it has a huge impact, as we all know, and lives were transformed, prisons were empty, it was said. And it's not only here in this country, but it spread to many places like India, Madagascar, and many other places. And what touched me was that it was said that in the Welsh homes in those days, they have two things in common. And one is a Bible is displayed proudly in their home. And another one is that they have a regular rhythm of family prayer, which they often do at nighttime, they said. So I believe it is a time for us to re-embrace this model and focus on teaching our children, our grandchildren and families about God. When the revival came, people responded because the gospel had already taken root in their homes. The seeds had already been planted and the Spirit was already welcomed there. So, and then I also think about our wonderful workers, the church workers across denominations who give so much of themselves to nurture their families in the faith. But sometimes we just leave it to them And we have a big responsibility as a family to nurture our children and our grandchildren. We often have events or activities in the church, and we often invite our communities come. And I sometimes wonder if we have may have neglected the very people closest to us, our families. Every Christian, whether you have children or not, I feel that it is important to reach out to our families, because we have so much power influence on the hearts of our children and grandchildren. So if we take this responsibility very seriously, and I can see the result of that, and I am quite excited to see the difference it will make in the future. So that's my priority at the moment. And yeah, it's important to ask God to help us and for the strength to do that.
I mean, sometimes we often kind of segregate people according to their age, you know, so we'll churches have been doing this for ages, you know, with children's work or youth work or work with older people. I think what you're suggesting is a more organic approach of starting with the unit of which most of us are part of in one way or another,
yes,
called the family, and starting from there.
Yes, I think it is important. We don't need to preach, like, you know, on Sunday services, but it's just like nurturing them on the stages, the children, and their capacity to understand God's love, for example. But that will, if we plant the seeds, I know that as they grow, they will understand and embrace, embrace faith. Because I am sad that here in Europe, few people are interested in faith or come to know God. It's sometimes a little sad to see that, but I think if we do this one, teaching our family and start from the base, the basis from the family, something will grow up. And yeah, of course, we long for revival. I think that's the start of the revival, really. We don't know how the revival will be, but it may not be as the revival we used to experience in the past, but I think this is the start of the revival. I really feel that. And we now hear about the quiet revival through the Bible societies, and it's really, really encouraging. So this is something that I'm really excited about. And I encourage everyone to do this if possible.
I mean, you touched on something there, Rebecca. You know, you and Miara, your husband and family, have been in Wales now for many years, and have rooted yourselves within the Welsh life and Christianity. But you both carry a story from another part of the world, where other parts of the world where Christianity is spreading at a rapid rate, and where churches are much bigger, and there are more of them. And I'm kind of interested to hear your I don't know, not comparisons, but observations. What's that been like for you to come from somewhere where faith is exploding in all kinds of ways to an area where, or to a country where, that doesn't seem to be the case at the moment?
Well, God is still at work in all countries, I think. What we experience back home, Mizoram or Madagascar, is the result of the missionaries. So Wales have had experience in the past, the growing church, and then they had to build lots of chapels and churches because it's too small. Or so we have experienced that in this country, and at the moment it's not happening, but back home, churches are growing, they're vibrant, and then they reach out, most people go to church and they have faith. I think that we should not be discouraged about this, even though we feel that we are declining. I mean, I don't really like to use this word, but churches in the world are growing, and then we are a part of that. And I think we should, it's very important to keep on having that faith, not to be discouraged or in despair. I know that God is still at work in this country, and there is still coming, still something big coming. That's what I feel. But we need to do, we can't wait, just sit and wait that to happen. We have the responsibility to do something about it.
Fenyw yw Thomas Ellis Williams, arweinydd Eglwys y Croes, ac di bod yn y swydd ers rhai misoedd bellach ydi dechrau yn Hydref 2014.
Wel, croeso i ti, Thomas. Diolch am ymuno gyda ni heddi. A beth oedd dy waith? So, cyn i ti ddechrau yn y Crwys, beth oedd dy waith ti, Thomas?
Wel, dwi wedi cael sawl galwedigaeth yn fy ngyrfa fel petai, ac dechrau ym myd y gyfraith o'n i,
Ah.
ac arbenigo'n y maes teulu a torb priodas a hefyd maes plant hefyd. A wedyn, byth ers hynny, dwi wedi bod yn ymddiddori yn y byd eiddo, ac wedi dechrau busnes yn y maes yna. Felly mae'r byd yna'n amlwg i fi, a hefyd fel landlord hefyd. Di bod am nifer o flynyddoedd a dwi'n parhau yn landlord hefyd. Ond wrth mi wneud gwaith gyda'r capel fel gwirfoddolwr ac fel un o swyddogion, yn raddol bach dwi wedi sylwi bod yr alwad i wneud rhywbeth mwy dros Eglwys Iesu Grist yn cynyddu. Ac dyna oedd wrth gefn i mi gamu i gymryd y swydd yma, a dwi'n ymfalchio yn fawr yn y swydd a'r cyfle.
Oh, wel, diolch i dda. Difyr iawn, Thomas, i wedi cael amrywiaeth o brofiadau wrth i sôn ni.
Do, ac wrth gwrs mae hwnna wedi bod yn ffurfiannol, o bob un cyfle dwi wedi cael wedi bod yn ffurfiannol i ddatblygu yn ffydd i, ac hefyd i fod yn ganolog o ran yng ngweledigaeth i hefyd.
Wel, Thomas, yn y gymanfa gyffredinol yn Llandudno yn ddiweddar, mi wnes ti sôn yn gyhoeddus am dy waith a pethau sy'n ar dy galon di, pethau mwy o pwysig yn dal wedigaeth ac yn dy weinidogaeth ti. A meddwl ni, sy'n braf sy'n ni'n gallu, sy'n ti'n fodlon i rhannu rhywun gyda ni heddi hefyd.
No, wrth gwrs. Wel, rydw dwi'n dimlo yn anad dim ydy yr angen i gynnal perthynas gyda'r gymuned o fewn yr eglwys a hefyd o ddi allan, ac yn ffordd o helpu y dealltwriaeth y genhedlaeth newydd o beth yw bywyd a gwaith ffydd yn y Gymru fodern. Ac felly mae cynnal perthynas yn rhywbeth sydd yn helpu ni'n diwedd i godi yr elfen o berthnasedd i bobl yn yr oes ddyrus da ni'n byw ynddi. Ac pobl y ffordd ydy ni, a dwi'n gweld llyfr yr Actau yn y Beibl yn rhywbeth sydd yn gwbl allweddol i'n ffordd i o edrych ar bethau. Pobl sydd yn ceisio cydgerdded gyda rhai sy'n chwilio yn credu yn ama. Ac yn aml, can fod pobl sy'n mewn poen ydy ni ar y daith honno. Ac yn gwaith ni, dwi'n meddwl fel Cresnogion, ydy cynnig yn llaw, cynnig clust i wrando. Ac hefyd yn cynnig modd i bobl gallu archwilio'r ffydd mewn modd sydd yn goleuo'r daith fel llusen, er mwyn iddyn nhw canfod y gobaith sydd yn Iesu Grist. A dwi'n meddwl, a dwi'm yn gwybod os dwi'n gobeithio fy mod i'n iawn, ond mae nifer fawr o'r pechodau da ni yn ei ddioddau fel pobl, yn cymgymeriadau mewn bywyd, yn deillio o'n clwyfau ni, yr un da ni wedi brofi yn y gorffennol, ac beth rhaid ni geisio fod yn amlwg yn wneud ydy efallai dangos fod Iesu'n dal i achau heddiw, a'r gwaith ni efallai ydy cario'r matres yr sawl sydd efo'r parlus yna ac agor y to er mwyn i ni amlygu Iesu wrth i ni ollwng pobl ger i fron o. Ac mae rhaid ni fod yn bobl sydd yn yn wneud y gwaith caled o gynorthwyo bobl ac yn mwyn i ddangos y ffordd tuag at iachad o'n pechodau ni.
So wrth i sôn i Thomas, mae'r weinidogaeth ti, ti'n weithgar yn y gymuned, allan ni feddwl, ac hefyd yn bersonol gyda bobl, un o'r uchaf bwyntiau i fi yn yr hyn a ddwedais ti yn y gymanfa, oedd nes ti roi esiampl o fod yn yr ysbyty gyda rhywun, ac yn gweddio gyda rhywun, a meddwl eto, sa ti'n fod yn jyst sôn rhywfaint falle chydig bach am y profiad hwnnw.
Ie, yeah, mae'n... Wrth gwrs, mae'n brofiad newydd i fi bod yno ar gyfer pobl sydd yn profi gwewyr neu yn profi trallod. A dwi'n meddwl bod yn un o'r breintiau mwyaf mae rhywun yn ei gael ydy bod gyda phobl pan maen nhw efallai yn teimlo mwy o bregus. Ac felly, dwi'n meddwl, dyna'r llawenydd neu'r anrhydedd fwyaf dwi wedi derbyn ydy cael y moment dawel honno gyda'r unigolyn sydd yn glaf yn yr ysbyty ac hefyd rhannu gweddi. Ac mae hwnna'n rhywbeth personol iawn wrth gwrs rhannu'r gweddi a teimlo'r rhyddhad dwi'n ei gael yn bersonol o gynnig cymorth. Ond dwi'n gobeithio fod dwi'n cynnig cymorth a bod hynna yn fendithiol i pawb dwi'n dod ar ei traws yn y foment bregus yna. Felly mae o'n rhydedd ac o'n i'n wrth i fi edrych ar yr cyfnod yma fel arweinydd. Dyna'r foment dwi'n teimlo sydd i'n hyffwrdd i fwyaf ydy y gallu i rannu y baich gyda phobl sy'n mewn gwyledd.
A falle fydd nifer o bobl sy'n gwrando yn gyfarwydd ag Eglwys y Crwys yn hanesyddol felly, ond mae'r capel wedi symud ers amser nawr i rhan newydd, wel rhan arall o Gaerdydd, i Richmond Road o Heol y Crwys. A ti'n byd allai di sôn am y gymuned sy'n o gwmpas yr eglwys, achos mae'na amrywiaeth o cenedlaethau gwahanol yn byw yn yr ardal hynny.
No, dwi'n meddwl bod hwnna'n bwynt pwysig. Da ni'n eglwys ddinesig. Ac prin i'r rhai sydd efo'r gallu i gerdded i'r capel. Ac wrth gwrs mae Cymru Cymraeg, Caerdydd wrth gwrs ar wasgar yn y Gaerdydd fodern. A hefyd, beth dwi wedi sylwi hyd yn oed yn y cyfnodau ers mi bod yn aelod a wedyn cael yng Nghodi'n flaenor, mae'r gymdeithas wrth gwrs wedi bod yn ymhlith y brifysgol a'r colega yn cwmpas ni. Ond mae'r cenedlaethau a'r cenedloedd o'n cwmpas ni wedi newid hefyd. Mae bobl gyda bobl croenddu, pobl muslimiaid yn amlwg o'n cwmpas ni. A dwi'n meddwl dyna beth yw'r her a'r cyfle ydy sefydlo ni greu adeiledd sydd yn agored i bawb. Ac efallai nad ydyn nhw'n siarad Cymraeg, a mae hwnna'n her. Dwi'n yn ymgipris arno fo'n fy mhen yn aml iawn. A da ni'n ceisio ac yn rhyfedd iawn mae gennym ni gorau Cymraeg a di-Gymraeg yn defnyddio'r adeilad ni i ymarfer ac gan gynnwys côr gospel o'r troddodiad Pentecostal. Ac mae hynna wedi bod yn ddiddorol ac yn gyffroes hefyd.
Yeah.
Ond dwi, fel rhan o'r berthynas na, dwi'n meddwl bod dwi'n mwynhau bob sgwrs dwi'n gael gyda'r gymdogaeth. Ac er mwyn bod nhw'n teimlo bod nhw efo rhyw berchnogaeth hefyd ar yr adeilad, nid jyst ni fel aelodau ac fel pobl y Crwys hefyd.
And finally, we hear from three delegates to the conference from the Presbyterian Church of Taiwan. Ac yn olaf, clywn gan tri dirpwy i'r gynhadledd o Eglwys Presbyteraidd Taiwan.
My name is Pan En Shen. Mandarin is Pan En Shen. But Taiwanese is Point Wen Xing.
Point Wen Xing.
Yeah. 我是这一届的议长。
I'm the general moderator for this year.
七十届。
Yeah, it's a 70. Yeah, 70. How to say? How do you say? How 70
anniversary?
Turns, anniversary? No, for us the church is 160 anniversary.
Okay.
But for the whole General Assembly, this is 70 years.
70 years.
Yes, for General Assembly.
So what to say? I'm also in this conversation. There are two other people. So for the sake of the podcast, I wonder if you could introduce.
Yeah,
yourselves
course,
as well,
yes.
And then we'll have some more questions.
Yes, I introduce myself. I am a partner in mission, cooperate with the Council of World Mission, URC, United Reformed Church, and PCT, Presbyterian Church of Taiwan.
Okay.
And then I'm in charge of a migrant project
okay.
in London.
All right.
So it's migrants, especially who speak Mandarin. So normally it's Chinese or Taiwanese and Hong Kongese. So I've been there. This project has been going on more than 15 years.
And you've been there?
No, I've been there only 5 years.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you're the Reverend Shen?
Yes.
Reverend Shen, welcome. And then we have the Reverend Avai.
Yes. My name is Chen Qingfa. And I'm from one of the tribal people, indigenous people in Taiwan.
Mm.
We call Zhou tribe.
Zhou tribe.
So my name in Zhou is Avai Do Akuyaya Nane Niahosa.
Yeah.
I am a retired chaplain from a Christian hospital in Taiwan.
Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome to you all. This is the first time we've had honoured Taiwanese guests on the podcast. I'm delighted that you've come to the General Assembly here in Llan Dydno. So I'm wondering, I do apologise if my pronunciation is not good. Pan, shall I call you Pan? Pan. Tell us a little bit about the Presbyterian Church in Taiwan.
Taiwan 基督长老教会，好，我是牧师的儿子。
I am the pastoral kid.
从小
from childhood, I learned a lot from my father. We are all from Presbyterian Church of Taiwan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and my background, we must. Learn the speak Taiwanese.
Mm.
用罗马拼音.
Yeah, we our church is like a Presbyterian Church of Wales. We emphasize a lot. We try to preserve our dialect.
Mm.
It's Taiwanese dialect.
Mm.
So our church it's become one of our specialty to use Taiwanese. While the other denomination, they only. They use the official language.
Okay.
所以当小时候，对国小去学校讲必须要讲 Mandarin， 那不然被罚。
When we were young, we went to school, the primary school. If you speak your mother tongue, Taiwanese, you'll be punished.
Wow.
So everyone should speak Chinese.
Okay.
Mm.
Yes,
but Mandarin.
Yeah.
So you as a church are promoting Taiwanese.
Yes, yes,
do you know?
And writing, because the Taiwanese, when we use the dialect, there's no letters. But the letters, the romanization, romanized letters are from the missionary, from England. They created...the letters. So all the pastors, they need to learn how to write.
Yes.
And yeah, we have the Taiwanese romanized letters for our Bible.
Okay.
So there is a problem now in my church.
Yes.
In our church, yeah. Presbyterian Church in Taiwan.
Yeah.
We have Asian people. We can speak Taiwanese and preach in Taiwanese. They are very okay and lovely.
Yeah.
But our young people, they yeah. can't understand and no. can hear like Welsh and England,
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's no problem.
Yeah. yes.
Yeah. Different age, generation, different generation. Yeah.
There's a very important connection between Taiwan and Wales, in the form of a person, somebody called Caris.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you could tell us about Caris Humphrey.
Yeah.
And she came as a missionary from Wales to yeah. Taiwan.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how the impact she has had in Taiwan.
他在台灣怎麼參與我們的工作,怎麼跟我們的工作結合在一起。他就在辦公室,辦公室當那個英文助理啊,翻譯,聯絡,聯絡 medical church.
Actually, it's really a very, it's not easy to stay in the a certain job for over 40 years. And she stayed in our General Assembly's office, just working for
English as, secretary.
Yeah, as secretary, English secretary. Okay. But she did much more than this because I had more contact with her, and she keep all the missionaries who retired because before there's a lot of missionaries sent into Taiwan, and then when they return to England. Or Canada or other places, she kept a very good contact. All the information, it's become something. It's under her charge.
Yes.
So any news, somebody who passed away, she's there to announce. So she's in this way. She it's important.
Yeah,
and the others.
And especially, she got the citizenship. Several years before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like authentic Taiwanese people, and I call you, Caris, you are Welsh. She say she's tell me she is Taiwanese.
Taiwanese. yes. Great. That sounds brilliant.
She work in Taiwan. Almost 40 years. I think in her age is about 70 years old now. But she served in Taiwan, it's almost 40.
Yeah.
So
most of her life?
Most of her life.
Yeah. Wow.
Live in Taiwan and help our church as a connector.
Yes.
Not just for words, it's the ecumenical relationship between Taiwan and the other countries, all go through her. So her job is so important for us.
Yes, yes.
So even the government honor her, what he did for Taiwanese. So she got the citizenship from the government.
Wow. What a great story.
So, yes, so we really respect her, and we also recognize her. She's our Taiwanese.
Yes.
More than Wales.
Yes, good. Excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah, well, many missionaries, when they went to Taiwan, a lot of they stay all their life. Especially Catholic missionaries.
Okay.
And then in the end, they always say, I am Taiwanese.
Yeah.
I'm so proud they identify our culture, identify our society, everything.
Yes.
So they just love Taiwan so much. And they want to say, I'm Taiwanese.
Yes.
And for us, it's really a big, big honor.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. We were talking about your mission. at the Presbyterian Church in Taiwan, especially as you have this very big neighbor called China, and a lot of pressure coming on you as Taiwanese people, and how that affects everything for you. I wonder what it's like being a Christian, a Taiwanese Christian.
Well, I can answer that part because I'm the Aboriginal people in Taiwan. In my so-called Taiwan history, the People's Republic of China never ruled, occupied Taiwan before. Only Portuguese, Dutch, Qing Dynasty, Japanese, and now, so on, never occupied by the People's Republic of China.
No.
Why China say Taiwan is theirs?
Yes.
When Taiwan never occupied by China.
Ah. Yes.
So, as a Aboriginal in Taiwan, and based off our faith, we have to realize, we have to more like a democratics to serve the problem of Taiwan. It means self-determination. They should respect the people of Taiwan, how to decide our future, not use the force to take over Taiwan. Yes. It's unfair. So, based on our faith, we will tell our people and outside all the other country, Taiwan is Taiwan, China is China. That is based on how we love Taiwan.
Yes. Yes.
And the people, the China, how can they decide our future? It's unfair.
Yes. Yes.
So we are partnership, church partnership,
right.
I would like to ask for our friends, our body of Christ, as we need to support us. This is my own voice as
religious
people.
You are a separate country with your own culture, and it must be quite frightening. China is such a big, powerful, aggressive country, and you are quite small with this huge. That must be frightening. And
for me, I think the reason why, is that right?
Yes, fine.
The reason why we need to stand out like a Christian in Taiwan under such a regime, we need to keep a connection, international connection alive to support us, to let people know our situation. Second is we need to delve into the community. That's why we need to insist to speak Taiwanese, because the community speaks a lot of Taiwanese, but if the Chinese come, they will force us to stop this. And then third is that we need to deepen our faith, especially for not only for spiritual life, but also for social justice. So most of the other denominations, they don't want to touch politics, and they think it's not good to touch about social justice. So we are the only church who always try to stand with those issues against human rights. So that's also very, it's our special, our church's special character.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why we, our past general moderator, who was in prison, or some pastors, they died because of protecting for those political victims. So it's our tradition. We need to be brave.
Mm.
Of course, we need to pray for peace. We need to pray for the harmony of the society.
Mm.
And we need to pray that we can be brave enough to stand for our faith.
Yes.
And our church, we know once the Chinese government, if they come to Taiwan, they will first take all our Presbyterian churches. They will stop us.
Mm.
And then now all our ministers, we dare not to go to China.
No.
Because they will take us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
erase you.
Yeah, so we are alert. We are alert of the situation. And we try to know more about our enemy.
Yes.
You must to know them.
Yes.
Then you will be aware of our situation.
Do you fear that that China is going to invade you?
Of course.
You feel that's going to happen?
They always harass us. Yes. Every day they fly, they send a lot of airplanes to come to Taiwan, and they across the border, and they announce that this is our country. And then they even cut the sea's cable.
Cables, yeah.
And who can help us?
Yes.
And we cannot fight back.
No.
If we fight back, if we want to say, oh, why are you across the border?
Yes.
If we fight back, then it will be the Third World War.
Yes.
So we try to be, to be wise. Yeah, and keep our calm, try to keep our emotion.
I know, yes.
To
keep your counsel.
Yes, yes, yes. We cannot just fight back.
No.
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 Yeah.
They are a massive country.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, if you have money, you try to move to other countries.
I see.
Try to migrate to other countries because it's. I know one day we will have the same destiny like Hong Kongese.
Really, you feel that?
Yeah.
Yes.
You think that's coming?
Totally same.
Yes.
In the
totally
future.
The same, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Since they'll take over Taiwan,
yes.
It will change everything.
Yes. So you are the resistance.
Yes.
Yes.
Last year, when I was in our General Assembly in Taiwan, and we tried to figure out how much budgeting we have to invest for this year's anniversary, 160th anniversary. And then a pastor stand up, because people are arguing how much we should do that. And then a pastor stand up saying that you should be very grateful. Today you still can discuss about this.
Mm.
You still can celebrate the anniversary.
Mm.
If next year the China comes, you finish.
Huh.
Your church finish.
Wow.
So we are aware of our situation.
Yes.
But still we try to do our best.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Listen out for the next one soon, but until then, goodbye from us all. Diolch am wrando. Gobeithio eich bod wedi mwynhau'r podlediad. Gwrandewch mas am yr un nesaf yn fuan, ond tan hynny, hwyl fawr am y tro.